In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The life of Anthony Mary Claret is the life of a missionary devoured by the thirst for the salvation of souls. To carry out his mission, the Lord granted him many supernatural gifts, including healing the sick and supernatural knowledge. He had frequent ecstasies and was sometimes seen surrounded by radiance. Many times Jesus and the Virgin Mary appeared to him. He received the immense grace of the miraculous preservation of the sacramental species within himself, that is, of being able to be a living tabernacle and of being able to always carry the sacramental Jesus inside of him. His love for the Virgin Mary was extremely great. He did everything with her and for her. When he was named Archbishop, he wanted to call himself not only Anthony, but also Anthony Mary, in her honor. He founded the Congregation of the Missionary Sons of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, also known as Claretian Missionaries, and the Sisters of Mary Immaculate. He was greatly persecuted by the enemies of the Catholic faith, and he offered everything with love for the salvation of sinners and the salvation of Spain, for whom he had offered himself as a victim. His life, given totally to God, is an example for us. We must share our faith at all times and places as true missionaries and disciples of Jesus Christ. In the missions of the year 1840, St. Anthony Mary Claret tells us, "In the beginning, they presented me with many who said they were possessed, and their relatives begged me to exorcise them. And as I was competently authorized, I did it. And as soon as I found one who could be possessed, nevertheless, he was not, because there were other causes, such as physical, moral, which I will not qualify here." Seeing that many did not have such demons, and on the other hand, seeing that they made me waste a lot of time that I needed to hear the confessions of those who had been converted through preaching, I said to myself, "It is more necessary that you take out the demons from the souls that are in mortal sin than from the bodies, if they have them." I thought that this could be a deception of the devil himself, and in this way, I left the exorcisms and took another path, which was the following. When someone came to me who told me that he was possessed, I asked him if he wanted to be cured. If he assured me that he did, I would order three things. First, to take all things patiently, never to get angry, because I had observed that some were hysterical as a result of their bad temper or tantrums, and with patience, they would calm down. Second, I ordered them not to drink wine or other liquor, and that this was required of them as an indispensable fast to drive out that kind of demon, since I had also found that some drank too much, and to cover up their nonsense, they blamed the demons. Third, he made them pray seven times each day the Our Father and Hail Mary to the Blessed Virgin, in memory of her seven sorrows, and also make a good general confession of their whole life, and then take communion with the most fervent devotion. Whatever it was, the truth is that after a few days they came to thank me, saying that they were free and cured. I will not say that there are no possessed. Yes, there are, and I have met some, but very few. In the missions, I had found some who had been converted by sermons, and frankly said that they did not have such possessions or physical illnesses, but fictions, for different purposes that they proposed, either to attract attention or to be pampered and pitied, to achieve relief and for other purposes. One told me that everything she did with all knowledge and malice of the will, but that she did such strange and extraordinary things that she admired herself, and that without a doubt the devil would cooperate and help her, not by diabolical possession, but because of the malice of her heart, because she knew that naturally she could not do that. Another person who lived in a very large city told me that she had been able to pretend that she was possessed in such a way that exorcisms had been performed on her for a long time, and that during the fairly long time of her fiction, she had deceived 20 priests of those who were considered the wisest, most virtuous, and most zealous in the city. But sometimes St. Anthony Mary Claret had to attend to real problems produced by the devil. A witness testified, "When I was 14 years old, one day, while I was in the church square of my town, the most holy viaticum passed, the Eucharist, which had just been administered to a woman. And suddenly, for the first time, I had like an epileptic fit. These attacks were frequently repeated, and from the first attack, a disgust for all religious acts seized me, so that I could not even hear about religious things. My resistance to going to Mass or receiving the sacraments was so terrible that for 9 or 10 months, I was invaded by this disease. I was never able to get close to confession or Mass. Sometimes they took me by force, and before the consecration, the attack would come, and without realizing it, I would make a big fuss, blaspheming. The strength of the attacks was such that many times there had to be 4 or 5 strong men to contain me, and I did some acts of extraordinary strength, and the public word was that I had bad spirits. My father, on the advice of a neighbor, decided to take me to St. Anthony Mary Claret, and we went to Barcelona to the convent of the Magdalene nuns, since the servant of God lived there in the chaplain's house. St. Anthony Mary Claret said not to be afraid, and he put a hand on my shoulder and another on my head in front of an image of Jesus Christ crucified and another of the Virgin Mary, and told me to pray the rosary, to say 3 Hail Marys every day and 1 Our Father to the guardian angel, another for his intention, and on the next day I go to confession, adding that if the confessor asked me who had healed me, I would simply answer, God. And the servant of God said goodbye to me and said, come on, child, you'll be cured. It is important to note that everyone believed that the young man was possessed, and that the problem came from a blow that an old woman had given him with a cane. Another witness who knew him notes, I had the opportunity to witness the attacks several times. The patient did very violent contortions and strange things. He gave some extravagant screams, sometimes roaring with a deep, hoarse voice, and others acute, speaking an unintelligible language. The most particular thing was that making the sign of the cross, or trying to put a cross on him, made up of light straws, without him being able to see it, he would instantly become furious and in a state of extraordinary irritation. This happened in the year 1849, and when the witnesses and the patient himself gave testimony in the process of beatification in the year 1889, 40 years had already passed with him being perfectly well. The demons persecuted me a lot. On one occasion, they made a stone fall when I was passing by. On another occasion, in a town called Sarral, one Sunday afternoon, when the church was full of people, Satan made a large stone fall from the main arch, and when it reached the ground, it broke into many pieces and did not harm anyone, despite falling in the middle of the auditorium. It was the admiration of all. Sometimes it happened that while St. Anthony Mary Claret was preaching, the people being in the greatest repentance, Satan would come in the form of a very frightened countryman, shouting that there was fire in the town. And St. Anthony Mary Claret, knowing the deception and seeing that the audience was alarmed by the news, from the pulpit said, "Stay still. There is no such thing. It is a trick of the devil. For your peace of mind, one of you go see where the fire is, and if it is true, I and all of us will go. But I tell you that there is no such fire. It is a deception that the devil has put in to prevent your repentance." and so it was. When he preached in the open field, the devil threatened them with storms. In the very person of the servant of God, the devil sometimes caused terrible illnesses. And as soon as the servant of God had the warning that it would be the work of the enemy, he was already completely cured without any remedy. Another witness stated in the beatification process, "I heard him say that sometimes in the middle of a road, they threw stones at him, and St. Anthony Mary Claret saw nobody. The devil often appeared to him, and the servant of God asked him, 'What do you want, proud one?' The devil replied, 'The Carmelite,' alluding to the Virgin, 'tells me to tell you to preach about lust.'" One day, the devil said to St. Anthony Mary Claret, "Do you remember that day when with a simple turn of the bed, you were free from that stomach pain that according to the doctors would deprive you forever of preaching? It was me who with that noise you heard, I forced myself to leave you because I wanted to devour you." Another witness also certifies in the beatification process, "Once I found St. Anthony Mary Claret praying in the Church of the Magdalene Nuns, and he showed me a piece of paper about 4 fingers or smaller, brown, and told me that it had fallen on his breviary. The following words were written on that piece of paper: 'You will be happy that they have named you Archbishop of Cuba, because there you will do your thing, but I will also do my things.' For signature, there were 3 or 4 scratches, that is, marks made with fingernails." St. Anthony Mary Claret was not scared, and he says, "If the persecution that hell did to me was great, the protection of heaven was much greater. I visibly knew the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of the angels and saints. The Blessed Virgin Mary and her angels guided me through unknown paths, freed me from thieves and murderers, and took me to a safe harbor without knowing how. Many times the word spread that they had assassinated me, and the good souls already applied suffrages to me. God pays them." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.